You say that's impossible? Well, that's God's law. That's God's will. That's the way we should live. That's the way Christians are expected to live. Not only Christians, this is for all people. This is for the Christians are only a vanguard of the human race. We're supposed to spread it to everybody. The fourth beatitude tells us to become holy. And we learned what holiness is. It's love. Love of God and love of neighbor. Now we have our roots in. The fifth and the sixth beatitude tell us nothing different. They tell us we should be concentrated on love and that our love should bear fruit in mercy for the poor and the downtrodden. And now we're ready for the seventh beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do you see? The blessed are the peacemakers isn't just a tail end. It's a fruit. It's a climax. It presupposes the others. Peace, says the scripture, is the fruit of love. Peace within our heart is caused by the love of God. Peace among our neighbors is caused by the love of neighbor. Peace is the fruit of love. It can only exist where there's love. Diplomats can't get peace. We have skilled diplomats all over the world working for centuries, and we still have less and less peace. The harder they work, they go backwards. I think in the beginning I quoted the words of Newman to you. He said, moor a vessel with a thread of silk. Well, that's only part of the comparison. Moor a vessel with a thread of silk. Then may you hope, with such keen and delicate instruments as human knowledge and human reason, to overcome those giants, the passion and the pride of man. We simply cannot overcome those giants with such weak weapons as knowledge and science and reason. Quarry the granite rock with razor. That was the way the comparison goes. Quarry the granite rock with razors. Moor a vessel with a thread of silk. Then may you hope, with such keen and delicate instruments as human reason and human science, to overcome those giants, the passion and the pride of man. So reason can't do it. And justice can't do it. This is a mistake that many Catholics, we talk about justice. Justice is less than love. Justice is only the first step of love. And it must be love. Gandhi wasn't afraid to talk about the love of all men. Why should we be afraid to talk about it? We Christians who claim to be the apostles for the world. Why should bishops be afraid to talk about that in their public utterances? Why do they talk only about justice and priests? We're to love our neighbor. It's our mission to spread love through the world, genuine love. And so, peace. You see, blessed are the peacemakers, says Jesus, but the word pacifist in our culture is a term of contempt. When we talk about a pacifist, we think of a slacker, someone who's avoiding his duty, not someone who's carrying out his highest human duty. We've reversed that again, too. This is the upside-down world of Jesus Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers. Romero was murdered for trying to be a peacemaker by his own government. So this is the way we must spread Christianity throughout the world. And there's a nice little example in the scriptures which I would like to give you. A book in the scriptures, one book in the New Testament, one of the 27 books, which is rarely read, I think. It's so short it seems unimportant. But I think it has a great importance. It's the letter to Philemon. And it discusses, it takes up a problem, and it's the only book, this short letter of Philemon, is the only book in the New Testament which takes up that particular problem. And it was a grave problem, a problem which has not yet been solved completely in the world. That's the problem of slavery. men enslaved by other men. It existed in biblical times. It was the economic basis of their society. It was the economic basis of our society still up until 1865 and the Emancipation Proclamation. And it was a thing which even the apostles took for granted. They couldn't conceive of a world without slavery because all the heavy work in the world was done by slaves. They couldn't imagine it. And so none of them called a crusade against slavery. They took it for granted. Philemon was a wealthy Christian slave owner. He was a convert of St. Paul. And Philemon had a slave by the name of Onesimus. And the slave ran away. That was a crime punishable by the death of the master. By the death, the master could inflict death if a fugitive slave was found. They had the right of life and death over the slave. Onesimus ran to St. Paul in Ephesus. He was received into the church of St. Paul. He became a helper of St. Paul, but not a slave. And then St. Paul had qualms of conscience because Philemon was his friend and his convert. And so it was his duty as a Roman citizen to send Onesimus back to Philemon, and he decided that that was what he would do, and he sent Onesimus back to Philemon, and he sent put this letter in his hand, the letter to Philemon. It's very short. Sometime, if not now, make it your meditation. He tells Philemon what he was going to do. He uses the first joke in the New Testament with a pun. The word Onesimus means useful, the useful one, useful. And he said, he was useful to you, now he's useless to you, but now he's useful to me. But I send him back to you now as a most dear brother. That one phrase was the thing that put the crack into slavery. And it allowed for the leaven of Christianity to enter that crack. That was the beginning of the end of slavery. No one had opposed it. Not the apostles had opposed it. St. Paul did not advise Philemon to free his slaves or his slave at all. He just said, treat him as a most dear brother, very dear to me. You can't treat a slave as a brother and retain the slave as a slave. So evidently, Philemon freed Onesimus. And now, the reason I tell the story is this shows us how what Jesus calls the leaven, he speaks of his word as a leaven, his kingdom as a leaven in the world. And that was a good example of the leaven beginning to work in an institution that seemed impregnable and seemed absolutely indispensable. The human race hung on to it for a long time. And even the Christian European nations engaged in slavery in modern times, as we know, and they brought them over here from Africa and used them as slaves. So many of our black friends and neighbors have Irish and Spanish and Italian names. How'd they get them? From the slave owners, from the slave carriers. They had to give them names. And the people that transported them gave them their names. Irish and Italian and Spanish and German, all Catholics. They did this without compunction. They didn't realize that it was contrary to their religion. They didn't accept it. And we in America fought a war to free the slaves, and they're still not freed yet completely. They haven't won their full emancipation. As long as there's racism, it's not gone. But this is the only way we can do it. We have to educate people in truth and in love. They must learn this, and they must learn to love. There is no other way. No amount of legislation. We've had tons of legislation now for the last 100 years and the last 50 years since. And even Martin Luther King, great as he was, hasn't been able to expel all that racism. It's still here. We see the evidence of the paper, and the present government is slack in fighting it. They don't like to interfere, they say. The only thing that can do it is Christianity, and this is the way. Now, this is the only way I think we can overcome war. That's the reason I bring it up. Through the leaven of Christianity. And that leaven has to work from person to person. This is one of the reasons why I continue these retreats and want to give them. I think we have to do it for one another. I don't think it can be done by books or film strips. I think we have to try to convince one another that truth and love are the only way. It has to be a person-to-person thing. Newman chose as his motto when he became a cardinal, heart speaks to heart. That's the way we spread Christianity, not with film strips. That dispenses me from effort. If I use them to help my effort, okay. But it should be a personal, heart speaking to heart sort of thing everywhere. And we will never overcome war unless nonviolence becomes a groundswell in our society. The little people of the world. The little people say, well, I can't do anything. What can I do? Only a president can do anything. No, the little people of the world are the only ones that can do it. If we would live by the gospel and create a groundswell which would demand institutions that conform to the gospel. This is the only way, the way in which we have almost gotten rid of slavery, but not quite. Now, I think then that this is the way we can work realistically, but it will be a heroic work. And it does mean the personal conversion of everyone, or practically everyone, to make it accomplished. And I believe that idealistic as it sounds, this is the will of God. This is God's design for the human planet, for the human life. And therefore, it is not impossible. It is impossible if we say it's impossible and if we refuse to try it. And if we refuse to take the weapons of the Spirit, truth, and love and divine grace. But if we open ourselves to grace and if we use those weapons, then it can be done. Otherwise, prepare yourselves to be vaporized. Get ready. Jesus is weeping over us. He's weeping over the earthly city as we destroy one another in preparation for a final destruction. With these weapons in our hands, it's either going to be destruction or complete conversion. So let us think about these things. We'll go down now and pray. And I want to, well, maybe always another remark. I'm going to give you one of my books of conferences. When I wrote it, I talked about in it South America and the theologians down there, and I expressed the regret in the book. I talk about these things. You'll find all this in my book that I'm going to give you. I expressed the regret down there that none of the Christian leaders had espoused nonviolence. I sympathize with these liberation theologians, but none of them have spoken out for nonviolence. I do not think there can be any Christian sociology without nonviolence. Now, that's only my opinion. I know I'm not Pope, but I'm telling you my opinion. It's my duty. There can be no really Christian society as long as there is violence. We are to love one another. And so I think it's regrettable that none of these theologians have come to the fore in preaching and teaching nonviolence. There was only one South American leader who has been a nonviolent leader. He got the Nobel Prize a couple of years ago. This is Adolfo Perez Esquivel. He's a layman, not a priest, and not a bishop. I believe he's a Brazilian. I'm not quite sure of that, although I read the book. But he travels all over South America. He's become a leader down there. He's a very modest man. I think he's a teacher and a poet. But he has a great deal of influence. And he does put forward a Christian, Catholic nonviolence as the solution to the problem in South and Central America. I'll leave this book here if you want to look at it and get it. I recommend it to you because it shows that people are thinking this way. And just today I knew about Oscar Romero, Archbishop Romero, but I did not realize that he was a nonviolent leader. See, my book was only printed in 1984. It was issued in January 1984, and I think he died in 1983, wasn't it? Was that there, huh? He died in 80. Was that in 80? Well, we didn't have a clear picture of him yet. I didn't, anyhow. What he was doing, we had all kinds of reports, but we didn't really know what was happening. And today, in reading this, I hadn't even read this whole book before. I've got the picture clearly in my mind that he was a nonviolent fighter from beginning to end. Only the last 3 years of his life. He went through a conversion, too. And it was only the last 3 years of his life that he had turned so completely to nonviolent leading. So that's a mistake that sometime I'll have to acknowledge or correct in my book. But I'm telling you before I give you the book, so you'll know. We hope there'll be more, even though they're killed. It's a good way to die. As Oscar Romero said, there couldn't be a better way, even though it's difficult. Okay, I don't like to speak lightly about that since I'm still alive. But that's the fact. We need these martyrs. Who was it said in the early Christianity? The blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians. Okay, now we'll go down to church.